We're dedicating the shir to you. Just remember one thing. The rabbi and the students are
with me.
Okay, you can hear the shir now. Let's go. Alright. This week's parasha is parashas Vayigash. Yeah? Okay. So always in the parasha starts with the word that embodies the parasha. Correct? Yeah, you know that, right? So, what's Vayigash? It's a strange word. And you'll find this word comes up a lot in this parasha. Vayigash elav Yehuda. Yehuda meets or comes in front of what's it called? Sorry. In front of Yosef. Vayigoshu, they come, the brothers that come in front of Yosef. And then we see that Yehuda goes to where? Goshen. Goshna. He goes to Goshen. Right? So, there must be something about what this word Vayigash means. And we see the Haftarah, always the Haftarah of the Parsha, it always explains a little bit of the Parsha. Now we know, I mean, maybe we don't, but we know that there's a concept in Judaism, there's a concept of Yosef, and there's a concept of Yehuda. Yosef is Mishneh LeMelech, he's the second to Malchus. And Yehuda is Malchus, right? Jewish kingship. I.e., Yosef is that which brings on Yehuda. And we know from Chazal, there's Mashiach ben Yosef, there's the anointed of Yosef, and then there's the anointed of Yehuda, Mashiach ben David. Yeah, you know that? Okay. So this parasha is about the connecting of Mashiach ben Yosef to Mashiach ben David. That's what this parasha is. And that's why in the Haftarah, it speaks about that Eitz Yosef, the tree of Yosef, the Eitz Yehuda, become one tree, become one. And when that happens, that's talking about the final Geula. So, if you understand a little bit of what this parasha is speaking about how we go from the concept of Yosef to the concept of Yehuda, and then we get to Parshas Vayechi, and in Parshas Vayechi, what did Yaakov Avinu want to do? He wanted to reveal the Keitz. He wanted to reveal the final Geula. The connecting of Yehuda and Yosef is the beginning of the final Geula, which is going to come in Parshas Vayechi. The Yaakov Avinu wants to reveal to his children the final Geula. You with me? That's what the parasha is basically speaking about. Now, that connection of Vayigash, we're going to have to try and understand a little about, and that's what's happening. Yosef, right, knew his brothers, and his brothers didn't know him. Correct? Mm-hmm. Why did he do all of this for? Why didn't he, you know, he separated Shimon from Levi because he knew what happened in Shechem. Then he went through this whole thing about getting Binyamin, and then he took Binyamin, and now Yehuda was Arev, was a guarantor for Binyamin, right? And now Yehuda is going to fight for Binyamin. Why did Yosef do all of this for? Why didn't just, you know, his brothers came in, say, hey, I'm Yosef, and finished. End of story. The Shvatim, this was a terrible thing. This was a terrible thing. It really started many parashas ago with Lavan. Like you read the story of Lavan, we all know the story how he switched Leah for Rachel, right? And we read it and we don't really think much of it. But what was the reason? What was the reason for the brothers? What was the reason for the brothers fighting Yosef, his dreams? They thought he was Malchus. They thought he was instead of Yehuda. And they knew that from Yehuda was going to come Malchus. From Yehuda was going to come kingship to the Jewish people. And yet from his dreams, we see everyone bowing down to Yosef. So the brothers suspected him. They thought they wanted to take from Yehuda and take from them and make them a shivcha, make them into like Yaakov and Esav, make them the lower side. Not be considered that Yosef was going to be the king and the brothers were going to be secondary. They're going to take from the importance of the brothers. And that caused the sinner. That caused the hatred. Says Rabbi Nassim in the Likutei Halachas, right? So in Likutei Halachas, he says there, what Lavan did caused all the galus of the Jewish people. That swap with Leah wasn't just a stump swap. That swap with Leah had Rachel. Yaakov should have married Leah because Yaakov took the brachos of Esau and Leah was supposed to be Esau's wife, right? But had Yaakov married Rachel, then Yosef would have been the firstborn. And it would have been very clear, it would have been very clear that Yosef represented the Malchus, and it wouldn't have brought all this machlokus to Klal Yisrael. This machlokus of Klal Yisrael came because of the swapping of Leah and Rachel. All this hatred of the brothers and all this, which is what causes our galus, our longest galus, which we're in now. Why is that? We all know, right? What's the reason we're in galus now?
Yes. Hatred of each other.
Okay. Hello, where did that start? To start with the brothers. That's the shorish of our galus. And that came through the swapping of Rachel and Leah. And where did that start? That started at home. Leah, because she swapped, right? Leah, because she swapped with her sister Rachel, she was Sanua. Yaakov thought. Yaakov realized what had happened. Yaakov realized that Reuven was not going to be his Bechor. He wasn't completely his Bechor. He knew that Yosef was going to be his Bechor. He knew that this Ikar bias was going to be Rachel. And Leah did this. Leah succumbed to do this. Leah could have told Yaakov, I'm Leah. And finished. She didn't do that. We have to understand the reason why. This is not so simple. Rachel also gave the simanim, right? Also the signs. So she, Leah would be able to do that. Because what was Leah's fear? Leah's fear that Rachel, that Yaakov wouldn't marry her at all. And then she'd be sent to Esau. Rachel also thought that. There was a bilbil, there was a confusion. That confusion caused the galus to the Jewish people. You understand? And that caused the hatred that Yaakov had for Leah, right? And it's brought down in Sfarim that later, afterwards, Yaakov cared for Leah. When Yaakov was called Yisrael, then he understood Leah and cared for her. If we, I'll read the Chumash, you understand, the first Chumash you understand, right? So we see that the brothers come to Yosef. And Yudah comes to Yosef, and he's coming to even fight with Yosef. If he doesn't give him back Binyamin. Now, what did Yehuda do here? Here, Binyamin was being threatened of being taken in captivity. And Yehuda was going to put down himself for Binyamin. When he didn't put down himself, who was the cause of selling Yosef? Yehuda. So who had to fix that sale by bringing, so to speak, the replacement of Yosef back? Had to be Yehuda. So Yosef worked all of this out so that Yehuda would do a complete tshuva. He put him in a similar position. And now Yehuda had to do the opposite of what he did with Yosef. With Yosef, he sold into slavery. With Binyamin, he fought to take him out of slavery. So we see, what's the concept of Mashiach ben Yosef? What's that concept? It's the concept of bringing us a recognition through our own actions to come back to Kadosh Baruch Hu and to prepare the road to tshuva. You understand? That's the concept of Yosef. And like, to an extent, all of what happens to us in our individual lives, especially if you're Baal Tshuva, we're not really Baal Tshuvas, we're Tinok Shenishbas. I told you guys, you know that, right? It's to bring us back to a clarity and a realization of where in our own lives we're going, we're making a mistake. And to do that tshuva. Tshuva, and it's brought down, I think the Brisker Rav here brings down, that when Yosef, after he showed himself to his brothers, nivhalu mipanav, they were like shocked and they were embarrassed. Says the Brisker Rav, right? That's going to be the embarrassment batid lavo in the future.
Of what's that?
in the future, when person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shows a person through his own actions his contradictions. What did Yosef say to Yehuda? Ani Yosef, od avinu chai, is my father still alive? When you sold me to come down to Mitzrayim, did you think about the life of my father? What is he showing them? What is this tshuva? What is this embarrassment? This embarrassment is that in our own lives, the Kodesh Baruch will show us our contradictions. And the contradictions in our own lives will be that embarrassment. That's the embarrassment in the fire, so to speak, of Gehinnom. And that's how a person has to be, learn to be consistent. Yosef, the concept of Yosef, is to teach us consistency in our lives. And we all have this inconsistency. It's called the Yetzer Hara. Yeah? He takes us to that inconsistency. Tshuva is to live that with that consistency, to live with a belief and to be consistent with it. That's the concept of Yosef. And it's hard. It's not easy. You with me? That's what Brisker Rav says here. Vayomer Yosef, Pasuk Dalet, Mem Hei Dalet. Vayomer Yosef El Echav, Gishu Na Elai. Please come, I connect with them. V'yigashu. Again, this Loshin V'yigash. Vayomer Ani Yosef Achichem. I am Yosef, your brother. Asher Machaltem Oti Mitzrayim. You sold me to in Mitzrayim. Ata Al Te'etzvu. Don't be sad. Don't be angry in your eyes. You sold me here. Now how does Yosef look at what happened? HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent me as a michya to give you life. That's why he sent me ahead of you, lifneichem, in front of you. Yosef didn't see this. So Yosef saw the Yad of Hashem in it. And he told his brothers, whether or not you had sold me, I'd be here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted me here, not you put me here. Don't be angry. Don't be sad. I'm supposed to be here. I'm in the place that I am. And all the brothers saw that his dreams came true here. They all bowed in front of him. And they realized their mistake. What's V'yigash? So Rashi says, he spoke to them, Beloshin Tachanunim, he spoke to them softly, and he showed them that he was Mahul. He showed them he had a Bris Mila. Bris Mila, the concept of Bris Mila is the concept of the Bali Bris, the same Bali Bris, the same, they serve the same God. But it's also the place of connection. He showed them that he was connected with them. That's the concept of Vayigash. And that's what the Haftarah is saying. Here, Yosef tries to bring the connection between him and his brothers, to remove the sinner, to remove the hatred of him and his brothers, which is the removal of hatred in the Jewish people. Vayisa Yisrael, v'kol asher lo, and Yisrael went with all that she had. Ve'evo be'er sheva, he went to Be'er Sheva, right? V'yizbach zvachim le'okei aviv Yitzchak, and he made korbanos for his to God. And God came to Israel in a vision at night. Yaakov, here am I. I'm the God of your father. Al tire mired Mitzrayim. Don't be fearing to go down to Egypt. So we see that Yaakov was very scared to go to Egypt. Why? Why was he so scared?
Because he already left Eretz Yisrael before, and now he's going to have to leave again, and he's not going to be protected by Hashem.
No, he's going to be protected. There's not a problem. Yaakov doesn't have a problem with protection. He has Yosef there and everything. What's Yaakov worried about? It says, Vayered Mitzrayim.
He's going to die in Egypt and not be able to be buried in Eretz Yisrael.
That's also. And then the promise, as we see in the answer, it says, Anochi Eredimcha, I'm going to come down with you to Mitzrayim. The Shekhinah comes down with Yaakov to Mitzrayim, with the Jewish people, because this is going into Golos. I will take you out. Like you said, Rashi explains, he's going to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, promised to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. But Yosef Yashid Yado Aleinecha, and Yosef will be in charge of you. Okay? V'yokum Yaakov Be'er Sheva Yesu Bnei Yisrael Et Yaakov Avihim V'etapam V'etnasheihem. They all went agalot with the agalot with the wagons. Asher Shalach Paro L'Setotzo. Right. So now, what was his fear and what was the answer? What was the kasha? What was the teretz? Right. He's fearful. Go to Egypt. What does the Kodesh Baruch Hu say? Don't worry. You're going to be buried in Israel. Sounds like a good answer.
No.
Huh?
No.
Yosef will be on top of you. You'll be buried in Eretz Yisrael. No problems.
Maybe he has a fear that they're going to be enslaved. He knows that the Jews are going to be enslaved in Egypt, and this is the time.
But what's a burial? What's burial to do with anything? What's he so worried about where he's buried?
He doesn't want the Mitzrayim to serve him as a god.
Okay, but so what's that's what he's worried about?
That's one of the things he could be. He also wants Techiyat HaMetim to happen to him, and he knows in Eretz Yisrael he'll be first if it's for Techiyat HaMetim.
Does he's worried about himself?
Well, he knows that they're also the Mila of Bnei Yisrael, having one of their avos in their land is good for his descendants too.
Okay, maybe. What do you think?
I think he's afraid of his ancestor of his descendants being in Israel and living in Israel, and I mean not in Israel, Mitzrayim, and like going down a level of their Yiddishkeit.
Okay, that's a good one. What's he worried about? That the Jewish people are going to go into Egypt.
Mm.
They're going to lose themselves.
Just like Yosef, no?
Yeah. He was worried about Yosef. Right. The same thing. And Yosef had to send him the agalot, that he realized he didn't lose his internality. What's he worried? They're going to lose themselves. And that's what happened, Lamaisa. The Jewish people were very, very affluent in Egypt. But they lost themselves. They assimilated. You see, the next parasha it starts, parasha's Vayechi, is Nistimu Einayim V'libam, it's Satum, because they lost their spiritual self. That's what he's worried about. So what's the answer that God tells him, and now he's okay with it? You're going to be buried in Egypt. What's that an answer? What does it matter where he's buried? He's not going to be buried in Egypt, he's going to be buried in Israel. What's that an answer? What does it mean to be buried in Israel? What does Israel mean? You ever learn Pirkei Avos? Kol Yisrael, Yeshem Chelek L'Olam Haba. Right? You heard that? We always say that. All the Jewish people have a portion in Olam Haba. What does it say afterwards? La'olam Yerushu Aretz. You're going to inherit the land. What land? Israel. So that's a bride that you're going to have Olam Haba because you're going to inherit Israel. What does Israel represent?
Truth.
Olam Haba. That's what it represents. Israel represents. Israel is the most spiritual land, the greatest kedushas in Eretz Yisrael. And when you enter Eretz Yisrael, there's another 10 kedushas to the Holy of Holies. Right? Right? Sorry. There's 9 kedushas. Eretz Yisrael is one of them. Right? You with me? So there's... What's Yaakov worried? That he... And the Jewish people are going to... He who represents the Jewish people, we call Bnei Yisrael. We're going to lose ourselves to the extent we're not going to be fitting to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. We're not going to have a connection to Olam Haba. Now what does the Kodesh Baruch Hu say? I'm going to come down with you. I'm going to protect you. And I'm going to bring you out. You're not going to lose your spiritual self. That's a promise the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave him. And that's what Lamaisa happens. Even though we lost... Kodesh Baruch Hu takes us out and builds us till Matan Torah, and we come back to Matan Torah, which is Me'ein Olam Haba. How do I know it's Me'ein Olam Haba? The Gemara says, women, right? How do you know that women have Olam Haba? Interesting question. Would you thought it would be different? No. So like we're not nice people? So the question, what's the reason? Men have a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Women don't have a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah, the Gemara says, you can't have Tchias HaMesim without Talmud Torah. Women do not have a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It's a mitzvah of Aseh Shazman Groma. They don't have a mitzvah, they can't have Olam Haba. Tough. Okay? That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says... They have a shaykhus to Olam Haba. They have a shaykhus to Talmud Torah. What's the shaykhus? What's the relevance to Talmud Torah? They wait from their husbands who are learning from a different city to come back home, and they take their children to school. They build the house. The building of the house of Talmud Torah, right? They're building the yeshiva at home. They're making the yeshiva. They're making sure there's food, right, Ricky? They're making sure, right? There's cake break, right, Ricky? Guys, how many of you guys would be in yeshiva if there was no cake break? If there was no schnitzel, right?
Okay.
Only on Wednesdays. Like, it was everyday schnitzel in yeshiva, right? But basically, and the warmth of the home and the building of the home, the Jewish woman is the home. The Zohar says about the Jewish woman, I'm not telling you you have to do this, but don't any halachas for me. The Zohar says that the Jewish woman represents the Shechina. And some Amoraim, the Tzezen, used to get up for their wives like they used to get up for the Shechina. Ohel Sara, what did Ohel Sara have? Ohel Rivka, Ohel Rachel, Ohel Leah. The lighting of the candles represents the divine presence. Who lights the candles on Shabbos? That represents the Shechina on Shabbos? The wife. We get Chanukah. Chanukah isn't like Shabbos. You have 8 days to get to Shabbos, but Shabbos is that's Me'ein Olam Haba. That's the Shechina. The wife represents the Shechina. She doesn't need Tal Torah because everything she does in the home brings Tal Torah. Without her, you don't have the Tal Torah. That's why she doesn't need to learn Torah. You with me? You got it? Okay. So now we get back to where we are. What we were saying here, this is Yaakov's prophecy in many, many years. Why? Because when a person's in tzar, when a person's in pain, he can't have prophecy. Prophecy comes only with simcha. Now that he had Yosef, he was on the level of simcha, he could have now prophecy. Good. All right, now we're going to skip to Shishi. Kavches. Okay? So now we finished with... No. We'll go here. There's another thing here. We'll do this about... When Yaakov meets Paro, right? In the next few parashas, the next parasha that we're skipping, it speaks about the children of Yaakov and the people come down to Egypt with Yaakov. Apart from Levi, who was born Ben Achomot, right? You want me to read all the psukim here? Otherwise, I'm finished. Levi was born Ben Achomot. So there's a Rashi here. It's an important Rashi. Go to it. So it's Eile Bnei Rachel, right? And it goes through all of them. And then it says, Kol HaNefesh, Pasuk Kaf, it gives all the children, and it says, Kol HaNefesh HaBa'al Yaakov Mitzrayma, Yotze Yericho, coming out from his loins, Milvad Nashay B'nei Yaakov, Kol Nefesh 76, U'Bnei Yosef, Asher Yulado B'Mitzrayim, Nefesh 2, Kol Nefesh LeBeit Yaakov, HaBa'al Mitzrayim 70. There was 70 Nefesh that went into Egypt. So Rashi here says, Shiyatu merits canal of Mitzrayim, Bein Abba Loshanava. Right, okay, so Rashi, let's skip it. So it goes now. So it says, Umatsati, look at right at the end of Rashi, the last three lines. Umatsati Bveikra Rabba, Esav Shesh Nefashot. Esav had 6 souls, Hayulo. Bakadu Koreotan Nefashot, calls it souls. Nefashot Beto, Loshon Rabim, it's a plural. Lefisha Hayu Ovdim Lelukut Harbe, they served many idols. Yaakov Shivim Hayu, there were 70. Lo. Vakadu Koreotan Nefesh, singular, calls them Nefesh, soul. Lefisha Hayu Ovdim Lekel Echad. What is Rashi telling you? Why, Dafka, when you're going down to Egypt, that has to be told to you? Why is that so important? And why Shivim? Why did we have 70? We know the 70 nations of the world. Against those 70 nations of the world is what? 70 nefashos, the 70 souls that went down to Egypt. Yes? Why are we called nefesh? Why are we called soul? Grammatically incorrect. We should be called nefashos, souls, like Esav. Says Rashi, what brings unity? What brings unity? That I like you? That happened to them. But what brings unity to a person?
Commonality of purpose.
Shared
interest. You sure? If we all serve the same Avodah Zarah, that brings unity?
In a certain sense.
Well, Rashi doesn't say that.
A delicious cake.
Shared ideals.
Shared ideas, that's what he said.
Shared.
We all serve the same puchka. That helps, that's unity.
See yourself in other people? Well, we have to serve the same one God, because that's real unity.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Why serving one God brings unity, and serving this little, all everyone has the same pushka, it doesn't bring unity. What's the difference?
One's real, one's not.
Why Rashi says that brings disparity? Everyone served their own Avodah Zarah. That brings disparity. Remember what the Ramban in the Asara Dibra explains what is Avodah Zarah, and the Rambam also explains in the Perush Mishnayos in Chulin. He explains it as follows: what was Avodah Zarah? We think, oh, yeah, the little thing. Who could do that? Well, it doesn't make sense to us. Because we don't understand Ruchnius. If you really want Ruchnius, you have to work for it. And it's hard work. You want to make a good meal? Hard work. But if you take away a good meal, free of charge, right? Isn't that better? Takeaway, go get a sushi instead of you have to make the sushi. Who wouldn't take it? If it's free, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or if it's cheaper, right?
Yep.
Cheaper than the ingredients you could buy, right? Good deal, right? Okay. Avodah Zarah means the desire to be spiritual, free, without any work. Says the Ramban and the Rambam also, that Avodah Zarah means when they actually knew to serve Avodah Zarah, they would connect with the Malachim, with the spiritual entities, and that connection would bring that hashra, that influence onto them, and they would succeed, or their crops would succeed, or something in their lives would succeed because of bringing that Avodah Zarah into the world.
Who says this?
The Ramban.
Okay.
And the Rambam.
And the Rambam.
Yeah, both of them. They both agree with it. No, okay. Okay. So, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? What's Avodah Hashem?
Toil.
Yeah, toil, okay. But okay. I can get it free of charge. I'll get it after toil. Come on. What?
Mitzvahs.
Mitzvahs, okay. But what's Avodah Hashem? Guys.
Sanctify the physical.
Sanctify, okay, good. What's Avodah Hashem?
Not saying Machnis Rachamim.
Sanctifying physical for spiritual purpose.
That's a shortcut.
Working hard for Olam Abba.
Working hard for Olam Abba. So, my gain.
Avodah Hashem is the real path.
Okay.
Unity.
Huh?
Unity.
What do you mean?
Oh, that's better. That's a Jewish answer. What do I mean? That's a Jewish answer. Okay, what do I mean? Now we're stuck. You can learn Gemara. What's the question, Rabbi? That's the first thing you ask. What's the question? What's the difference between Avodah Hashem and Avodah Zarah? He's connecting above. He's bringing spiritual influences in. These are real things. And his crop's going to be better. Or he's going to succeed with his parnasa. Or he's going to find, I don't know what he's going to find. He's going to find gold underneath his house. I don't know what, right? What's the difference?
Why ask a favor?
Or I daven to Hashem and ask him for stuff. What's the difference?
Because he tells the malachim what to do. So why ask a favor to the messenger if you can go to the king himself?
That's the difference?
Because for them, the malachim are a means to an end instead of the absolute truth. Meaning that they daven, they don't submit their will to Hashem. They use the will of
this pushka. Yeah, that's the answer. The whole difference is very simple. I'm not serving this pushka. I'm serving this pushka for my benefit. I don't care two hoots about this pushka, really. Just that, if he delivers, I get. Serving Hashem is not serving Hashem for my benefit. Serving Hashem is nullifying my will to Hashem to bring Hashem into the world. That's what serving Hashem. I want to nullify my will to Him. I want to bring Hashem into the world. I don't want to benefit me. fundamental. It's the difference between a taker and a giver. I want to give to the world. That's why I nullify my will to Hashem, because that's the world needs, to unify with its creator and for the world to be a better place. Avodah Zarah is what? I want my will. I did it my way, right? You heard that song? Okay.
What about the Hindus, Rebbe, who are about mevateling themselves to their Getchka in order to bring their Getchka, and they don't care, so they'll have vitachon, lahavdil, and the Getchka?
It isn't. I have to explain that. It isn't. Okay. It's weird. That's a longer shir, but I have to explain it. It's subtle there. I won't be able to explain it so easily. But deeply down, it's still avodas atzmi. It's an okay avodas atzmi for them, not for us. But we have to explain that. That's more subtle. Okay. I'm not saying the avodas are, but it's also there. It's saving themselves. It's about saving themselves from the world of suffering. So it's still about themselves somewhat. It's about finding their newer self, but it's not about connecting to Hashem. It's about removing themselves from this world and coming to the world of enlightenment. Mm. It's still about saving themselves.
They do believe it.
That's why I said it's subtle. They do believe that leaving this world, and then they only come back to save other people. So the coming back is for other people. You understand? But it's ultimately still avodas atzmi, klape Judaism it is. Judaism is about making this world a better world. About nullifying ourselves to Hashem so this world becomes a world of perfection. There's a big difference. That's why we get married and they don't. Right? Okay, but that's more subtle. But anyway, let's go weiter. So, now that we understand that, we can understand why that brings unity. If each of us are nullifying ourselves to a higher self, to our Creator, the unity of our Creator, the unity of His will, which is lehitiv, to do good in the world, then we come as one. We become one. If each of us are looking into our own personal selves, even if we're serving the same Pushka, it's still me. I'm not connecting with the other person. It's a world of disparity. Rav Dessler used to say, in marriage, under the chuppah, used to tell the chassid and kala, today you're getting married, you want to give to each other. The day you're taking from each other is the day the marriage ends. Marriage, you get married not to gain. You get married to give to the other person. To work on a same goal, the one goal of nullifying yourself to your Creator's will. That's why marriage is called Kiddushin by us. It's holy. It's sanctification. It's the highest level a person can get. That's why the priest, the Kohen Gadol, on Yom Kippur, that he went once a year, if he's not married, can't go in. Even there's one opinion that we arrange him another shidduch in case his wife dies. We don't pass it that way, don't worry. But there's an opinion where worried he's not going to be married. And his avodah is going to be possible. If he's not married, his avodah is no good. You have to do it again. The Holy of Holies. Because marriage is about giving. We're going to now learn about the tzon. When Yaakov, it's the same thing really. This is, let's go weiter. You understand that, Rashi? Pasuk Kavches, Vet Yehuda shalach lefanav el Yosef. Yosef sent him in front of him. Lohorot lefanav. To Lohorot. We don't know what Lohorot means. Goshna. To Goshen. This is the place where the Jewish people are going to be. Veyavo atza Goshen. He came to the land of Goshen. We had, again, this word Goshen. What's Yehuda doing? What's Lohorot? Rashi says Lohorot. Right? So Rashi says, simple pshat, to see, you know, see the grounds and make it comfortable for the Jewish people to mityashevba. And then Rashi says, midrash agadata, lohorot lefanav, letaken lo beis talmud, shemisham teitzei hora. To make a yeshiva. From there comes our hora to the Jewish people. They're coming into Golus. What are we talking about when we go into Golus? What's going to save us in Golus? Torah, yeshiva, a base Torah. When we go back to America, where do we have to go in America? Manhattan? Only if we're near the West Side Kollel. Right? If you go to Brooklyn. But if you want to go, wherever you want to go there, make sure there's a Beis Hora. Make sure there's a yeshiva there. Shemishamo Tehora. Because otherwise, you're going to be lost. Now, Stam, you should know. Lakewood have a tremendous program that they send their kollels, they make kollels in all over America.
Boston.
You understand? Sure. I went to Chicago for one of the students, Eagle, for one of the students' wedding. And I met one of the gvirim there who told me how Chicago looked before the Lakewood Kollel came in. When I came, there was two shuls, right? There were like two shuls in the small area that was there, right? It was a small place. It was just like one lane of Jewish houses and two shuls, right? The shul you go to, the shul you don't go to, right? But, okay. He told me before the Lakewood Kollel came there, he himself wasn't from, and there were kiman no Jews, like from Jews there. The Lakewood Kollel came there, and the place flourished. There were Balei Tshuva, there were now two Rabbonim, everything was happening. Simchas. Why is that? Why is it so important when you go into Golus, Talmud Torah? So there's a Gemara, and I always tell this to the boys when they go to Chutz La'aretz. There's a Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan, when he went to Chutz La'aretz, right, he saw that there were old people. And he didn't understand, well, how can there be old people in Chutz La'aretz?
There's old people everywhere.
Okay, good. How come you guys didn't have this kasha when you went back home? How come there's old people in Chutz La'aretz? You understand? Why is there old people in Chutz La'aretz?
I'm not sure, yeah.
Because there's young people there. Huh? There's young people there.
There's only young people. No, he was surprised there was old people in Chutz La'aretz.
Grow up and become old.
You know the pasuk that he was Dorish. What's the pasuk? The pasuk says, in Kriyat Shema. Come on, guys. Second parasha. What's the second parasha in Kriyat Shema? End of the second parasha. What does it say in the echo of the second parasha? You see? Huh? No. What's the end of the second parasha? Leman yirbu yemeichem v'yemei b'neichem al adama. So it says, in order that you will increase the days, right? Leman yirbu yemeichem, in order to increase your days, v'yemei b'neichem, the days of your children, al adama, on the land. Which land? Eretz Yisrael. Asher nishba Hashem levotechem, letet lehem kimei ha-shamayim al ha-aretz, right? So, who has longevity of life? People live in Eretz Yisrael. People live in Chutz La'aretz don't. So, when Rabbi Yochanan, who lived in Eretz Yisrael, went to Chutz La'aretz, saw old people, hey, the Pasuk says you shouldn't live long in the Chutz La'aretz. How come there's old people? When you went to Chutz La'aretz, you realized that? Did you have that kasha? Good kasha, right? Okay.
Maybe it's well to come.
Huh?
Maybe it's well to come.
I'll tell you a Gemara. This is what Gemara says, right? So, what's the pshat? What's up, chat? First of all, so then what happened? He saw people going early to shul, to the base of Medrash, and staying there long. And then he understood. How he understood? What's the Havamina? What's the Maskana? How he understood?
He thought there wasn't an Eretz Yisrael in Chutz La'aretz, but then he found out that every Talmud Torah based Midrash isn't in the Eretz Yisrael.
Then he found out, then he didn't find out, he understood that. But when he saw people connecting to the Torah and to Tefillah, to Beis HaKnesset and Beis HaMedrash, when they're connected, then they have long lives. Doesn't make sense.
What about the ones that don't?
Very good question. What about the ones that don't? The Gemara didn't ask that question. What is it? Okay, alright, she lived long and never went to Beis HaMedrash. Maybe she did, I don't know. Right? So what it means, how come they live long lives? Why didn't the Gemara have that question? That's an obvious question. What, only the people?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and people who don't go to the Beis HaMedrash, they don't live long? I mean, he didn't realize that, Rabbi Yochanan?
In India, people living until like 140, yeah.
I was talking about Jews. He was talking about Jews. He saw Jews. Right?
The people who are...
But there are Jews who don't go to Beit Knesset, right?
And they live long lives.
They live long lives, right?
In the merit of the people who are.
Oh. So, you can long, or you can live two tirutzim. Like you were saying, it means long lives, lives that are worth living long. Because a Rasha, Chas v'Shalom, a Rasha, even when he's alive, he's considered dead. Because he's not living a life, not living a productive life. That's one answer. Another answer is, the fact that you have such a thing, it gives life to the place. And that's what the story is of Gated Kolo, the Lake of Kolo. Even those people who are disconnected somehow will be connected. Torah gives light. It's like you have a room and you have a flame in the dark room. So near the flame, there's a lot of light. Far away from the flame, there's also, they can see the light. It changes the atmosphere of that room. It changes what it looks like. That's what Talmud Torah is. We are the light to the nations. In Golos, we definitely need Torah. Because Golos means darkness. We have me'ir the darkness with the light of Torah. So we have to be mechuba to Torah. There's more of a reason to be connected to Torah in Golos, because Golos means, exile means darkness. And we have to find that light in that darkness and bring that light to the darkness. Okay? So that's what Yehuda was doing here. Okay? Now go weiter. Next. So now Yosef brings his brothers to Paro, and of course, right, there's a midrash that he brings the weak ones. Why? What's he frightened? That Paro's going to use them. So he goes to Paro with a good teretz. What's his teretz? Okay, let's see. Lamed Beis, Pasuk Lamed Beis. So it says, Va'anashim ro'etzon. They're ro'etzon. Ki anshe mikna hayu. They were people of mikna, flock. And they brought all their flock with them. Okay? And he says, he tells Paro these things. So Paro puts them in Goshen. So what sort of answer is it? Because and it says, to Eva Mitzrayim, we're going to see later on. So where it says as follows, Va'amaltem anshe mikne hayu, right, we're people of the flock, we're shepherds, avdecha, tish minu ureinu, from our young days, adata till now, gam anachnu gam avotenu, us and our fathers, bavu teshvu be'eretz Goshen, in order that he will put you in Eretz Goshen. Why? Ki to'avat Mitzrayim kol ro'etzon. It's a to'ev of Mitzrayim if you're a shepherd. Isn't that strange?
Why do they hate shepherds so much?
Yeah, what's so bad about being a shepherd?
They serve them.
Huh?
They pray to the Elohim.
Oh. Now look what it says. What did Paro ask? Paro asks, let's get a little harder. Paro asks, So it says, look, Pasuk Vav. Eretz Mitzrayim, Paro says to Yosef, Eretz Mitzrayim is in front of you. B'meitav ha'aretz hushev. Sit in the best of the land. Et avicha v'tachicha yeshvu be'eretz Goshen. Let them sit in Eretz Goshen. V'im yadata, and if you know, v'yesh bam anshei chayil. You have people who are anshei chayil. Strong people. V'samtem sare, put them as heads. Mikne al asher li. Put them heads on the flock that I have. So, hello, we just says to Eva to be Roetzon, and Paro says if you have people, you have people to be in charge of my son. He doesn't call them Roetzon, he calls it Anshei Chayil. What's the difference between Roetzon and Anshei Chayil? What's the difference? We just heard to be a Roetzon to Eva. Now Paro himself asked them to look after his flock. He just calls it a different name. Anshei Chayil. Guys, you got the question? Yeah. No? What's the answer? We know that Tzon is the Avodah Zarah of Egypt. We know the Korban Pesach.
What's Tzon?
Tzon is a flock, a sheep.
They worship their sheep?
Yeah. That's why the Korban Pesach, the Pesach was a sheep offering. We took the Avodah Zarah of Egypt, we made it.
what do they think the ship can do? It goes by and they give them money or something?
No.
They used to go and touch it with their Bechorah and see if it brings the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, we have to understand what Avodah Zarah. Why does a sheep there represent the sheep is this Avodah Zarah? And it became the first Korban that we brought as a Jewish people. And we, I mean, it's going to be part in Shemos, we're going to speak about Korban Pesach, not now. But so there's something here. And why are the Jewish people? We were shepherds, and our fathers were shepherds, and we know David HaMelech was a shepherd, Moshe was a shepherd, Yaakov was a shepherd, Avram was a shepherd, Yitzchak was a shepherd. All the stories of shepherds, right? Your father's a shepherd? No, he's a businessman. He's a doctor. He's a lawyer. Okay, where's the shepherd at? Right? What's to be a shepherd? What does it mean being a shepherd?
Being a leader?
To lead.
Putting someone else before.
What does Son represent? What does Mitzrayim represent? What does a Son represent?
Physicality.
Right. Yeah. Why does a Son represent physicality? Why does a sheep represent? What can you do with a sheep?
All they do
you get
eat.
Milk, you can get
wool,
you can get what else?
Meat.
Skin. It's a factory for producing food. The whole thing of the sheep you can use for food. It's better than a cow. Cow, okay, use its leather. Right? A cow is also considered a food, right? Oh, there's a little bit about the parah and the egel, which is associated with Egypt as well. But okay. But the physicality is represented in this son. What does it mean to be a roe tzon? You're the manhig of the tzon.
What's a manhig?
The controller of the tzon, physical. Yeah. You're in control of your physicality.
Oh, that's why they were scared of that.
Someone who's in control of his physicality, that's a to'eva. What's our way? Anshei chayel. People of strength. What are they going to be, people of strength? What's their strength? To bring out the physicality of the son. That's why it's a to'eva. The derech of the Jewish people is to be machnia, is to control the physicality. The way of Egypt is to bring out the strength of that physicality. You understand? That's why it was a to'eva. They had a different derech, they had a different way. And they were put in, then Pharaoh understood, put them in Goshen. What's Goshen?
Goshen is the best piece of land, so it's the most physical part of Egypt.
Gash.
Oh, Gash, Nun. Connect with Nun. What does Nun represent? Nun represents, you know, you have 50 days from Pesach to Matan Torah. Yes? You have 50 days? Mm. The 50th day is Kabbalah Satorah. Nun represents the 50 levels of understanding, i.e. the highest level, which is Matan Torah. Goshen, which is going to be the place of Talmud Torah, the place where you have a yeshiva, is the place where we're going to connect to that Nun. How do we connect to that Nun? By being Roe Tzon. And that's why Paro said, send them to Goshen. By being the people who are machnia, the physicality, who are in control of the physicality, are the manhigim, the ones who are in control of the physicality, that brings them to become, reach Goshen. To Gash means to connect with the Nun, with the 50 levels, which is Matan Torah, represents the Torah in of itself. Now we come to a very, very interesting interaction between Paro, who represents the heights of physicality in Avodah Zarah, to Yaakov, who's the leader of the Jewish people, who represents the heights of spirituality. And now they're having a conversation. And the Torah is telling us the conversation. So like, what's the question and what's the answer? There must be something very deep in this question and answer. Vayaveh Yosef et Yaakov Aviv. He brought his father. Vayamidehu lifnei Paro. And he stood him in front of Paro. Vayavarech Yaakov et Paro. Yaakov blessed Paro. And for that reason, Rashi, he explains, the Nile came up to Paro. And that's why they thought that Paro made himself into Avodah Zarah because of that bracha. So it's interesting that's the bracha that Yaakov gave him. Vayomer Paro el Yaakov. And Paro now asked Yaakov, Kama yemei shnei chayecha? How many are the days of the years of your life? How many are the days of the years of your life? He was asking, how old is he? No, that doesn't seem like an interesting question. Okay, so there must be something more to that question. We haven't understood the question. Vayomer Yaakov el Paro. Yaakov says to Paro, Yimei Shnei Migurai. The days of years of Migurai. Migurai doesn't mean dwelling. It means temporary dwelling. Shloshim u'me'at shana. 30 and 100 years. Now he answers more. Me'at v'ra'im. Short and bad. Hayu. Yimei shnei chayai. The days of my years.
They were bad, you said,
the
doctor said they were bad years.
Ma'at, they were short. V'raim, and bad. Hayu, they were. Yimei, shnei chayai, the years of my life. V'lo hisigu, I didn't reach, et yimei shnei chayai avotai, I didn't reach the years of my fathers. B'yimei migureim, the time that they dwelt here. Didn't live permanently, dwelt here. What was the question? And what was the answer? And also, he says, Yimei Shnei Chayai, right? He's answering him. What? So he gave him an answer. What did he need to tell him how they were?
He just asked how many.
Yeah, he just asked how many. Tell him how old you are. I'm finished. What's happening here?
How did you?
And he says they're short and bad. What's short and bad about them? I mean, he lived quite a long time. What's short and bad?
There's always a lot of terrible things happen to Yaakov.
That's what he told him?
Tragic. I mean, but he's had 12 sons and a daughter.
Did Yaakov have a successful life?
I think successful, yeah, but it was hard.
Depends.
So why is he telling Yaakov? Why is he speaking about, say, look, I have 12 children, they're tzaddikim, they're great, everything's good. Why is the focus on the bad?
Since he didn't have it as easy as his grandfather and
father. Yeah, and what does he say? That less than my father and my grandfather. Who cares about it? Who asked about his parents?
I think we need to understand.
And that they were also just dwelling here.
We need to understand the question, Chris.
Yeah, okay. What was the question?
How many are the days of your life? The years of your life. The days of the years of
he was asking, how do you view all the days that you spend?
How do you view your days of your life?
Mm-hmm.
How do you see it? What's your hashkafa? How do you view it? How did Paro view life?
I'm the king of the world.
I'm the king. How does Paro view life?
Giant birthday party.
Giant birthday party. How does you life?
Great.
How do you view college life? Great, right? Best time of my life, right? How did Yaakov Avinu view college life?
Worst time of my life, you can.
How does he view life? What's life for? What's life for? What's life for? Guys, what's life for? To have fun? If you're Israeli, you say, what do you say? Lekayef. Lekayef. You know what Lekayef means? To have fun, right? What's life about? Have fun.
He's wrong.
Nizrom, okay, what does Nizrom mean? To flow.
Livlot.
Right.
What?
Livlot. To stick out. Okay, to stick out.
No, Levalot.
Levalot, to have a good time.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So what does Yaakov mean to say? What's life about? Hi guys, what's life about?
Preparation for all of
us. So if he's asking, what's he asking? What's he asking?
How do you view the physical life?
How's your physical life? Is it great? He's not speaking about his spirituality. He knows who's asking the question. Paro, who wants success, who wants bracha, who wants all the good things of the physical world. Mitzrayim is the sea of physicality. It's the sea of physicality. If you think the molds in America are good, you should have seen them in Paro. Right? Ramses, the pyramids, the sea. What was the Avodah Zarah of Paro, the tzon, physicality, utilize the physicality. Anshei chayil, utilize the physical world. What do you do with the physical world? You stick it in a pyramid and you die with it. All his gold that he collected, everything he puts in the pyramid, it's going to continue like that forever. Continue the physical world. What does Yaakov say? What is life? What is physicality?
Short and
nothing.
Whatever it is, it's short. In comparison to eternity, you think this will continue? In comparison, you think you can take all this physical life and stick it in your pyramid? No. It's whatever it is, it's short in comparison to eternity. In bad. Comparison to eternity, to spirituality, it's bad. You don't get close to real Hana. Like the Mesirah Shasharim says. We're supposed to give Mesirah Shasharim stuff? Okay, Mesirah Shasharim says, what do you say in the beginning? Why were you created?
To get close to your creator.
Litaneg. What litaneg means? To enjoy life.
Delight.
To delight in life. So we don't... If you ask an Israeli, what do you want to live for? So he says, look, I have to enjoy life, right? If you ask a from Jew, what do you live for? To enjoy life. We're not arguing. Just that you're not really enjoying.
Right.
Enjoying the physical is what? It's ma'at v'rayim. How many chocolate ice creams you can have? I'll give you chocolate ice cream for a whole day, right?
You get sick of it,
right? I think you're going to, after an hour, how much you can have, right? How much stuff you could buy in Macy's? How many iPhones? The iPhone 8, the iPhone 9, the iPhone 10, the iPhone 12. You know, if I get the iPhone 1000, you know, they're bored, right? how much can we have? Right? How much gashmis can you have? It gets boring. It's ma'at v'rayim. We're not arguing that life is l'kayef, that life is litaneg. Where is it litaneg? So Mesirah Shasharim adds one word. Litaneg al Hashem. We're going to have fun with who? With Hashem. That's where the real fun is. The real fun's in Yeshiva. Right? That's the real fun. That's where you have fun. And then after Yeshiva, when you're married, when you're Oved Hashem, that's a real Oved Hashem. When do you have Torah? In Yeshiva you have Torah?
No.
Alex, in Yeshiva you have Torah?
In the home you have Torah.
No. Oh. What does it say in the Gemara in Yevamos? That a husband without a wife, what doesn't he have?
Torah.
He doesn't have Torah. He doesn't have Simcha. He doesn't have Bracha. So where's the real yeshiva? At home. The Shechina. She's building the yeshiva at home. The kids, the thing. That's the yeshiva. Right? Daddy comes home, learns with the sons. She brings them in. Yeah, nice donut if it's Hanukkah. Right? You got it? That's where it happens. That's Lekayef. That's real fun. College life isn't real fun. Ice cream? Chocolate ice cream. Okay, the chocolate fudge. How many flavors? It's finished. It's not, what is it?
Smoothies.
Smoothies, that's it. Smoothies. You don't have to eat the ice cream, just go and it goes in. Right? That's what Yaakov Avinu answered him. Though your way of life is Ma'at V'rayim. Real life, which is connecting to the eternal, that's the kayef, that's litaneg al Hashem. Okay? Stop here.